Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Mem Gimel. We are holding a daf Mem Beis Amid Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. I thank Alicia Graf for giving the shiur over the past couple of days while I was away. Yashar Koach for that. And Alicia left off at the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amid Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Allah Shalom. It's also sponsored by the Sazni family, Lili Nishmas, their beloved father, Zalman Ben Shraga Faivala Kohen, Zechron Al-Racha, Mr. Zalman Sazne, on his 8th yard site, originally from Vilna onto Atlanta, Georgia, to his ultimate resting place on Har HaZeisim. He was a lone family survivor of the Holocaust that lived a life B'derech HaYashar, was zochet to build doros of Shomrei and Lomdei Torah, Shomrei Mitzvos, Bli Ayin Hara, Yizichro Baruch, and Hashem Shev and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do is the Mishnah is going to discuss three things that a Madir can't get from a Mudar. Normally it goes in the opposite direction. If someone's Madir and Mechavero, is Mudar and Mechavero, the Mudar, the one upon whom the Neder is Chal, is the one that's not allowed to get Anah. But we're going to identify three things where it goes in the other direction, that the Madir is not allowed to get from the Mudar. Then the next Mishnah is going to discuss, the Gemara is going to obviously give the reason for that. Then the next Mishnah is going to discuss three ways to give Hana'ah to a Mudar Hana'ah. Let's say you have a situation where someone has, there's a Neder in place that someone is not allowed to get Hana'ah from you, but he really, really needs something. So is there some way to do an end around to figure out a way to get him that which he needs without violating the Neder? The Gemara is going to have two different explanations why Rabbi Yossi doesn't just allow being mafkir the item, meaning shouldn't that be an easy way out? And the Gemara is going to have, again, two explanations, one on Amud Aleph, one on Amud Beis. We're going to have two challenges to the first of those explanations. And that's pretty much the whole daf. So let's begin, again, on daf Mem Beis and Beis at the Mishnah. So Amudra Ana Mechavero, if a person is Mudra Ana Mechavero, lo yashilenu v'lo yishal mimenu. A loan of an item cannot go in either direction, from the Madir to the Mudar, which is obvious, nor from the Mudar to the Madir. Lo yalvenu, the difference between a she'ela and a halva'a is a she'ela is something where you expect the item to be returned, whereas a halva'a is you don't expect the item to be returned. To the contrary, milva lahotza, you expect it to be replaced, and that which is its replacement, you get to give back. If someone asks you to borrow money and you give him a briefcase full of cash, and then he comes back 3 years later and he gives you back the same briefcase full of the same cash, you're not happy with him. What did he need that for? No, you expect when there's a halva'a, you expect a milva lo tzanit, that he's going to spend it, he's going to use it, he's going to invest it, and then when he pays you back, he's going to pay you back with different bills, he's going to pay you back different money. So that's the difference between halva'a and a she'ela. Halva'a means that he's going to give you back something else in return. Nor can you sell to him, nor buy from him. Again, a sale cannot work in either direction when there's a mudar and a madir. So it's asr on both of them, just like it's asr on the mudar to borrow the kelim, to borrow the money, to buy schora from the madir, because he's obviously getting hana'a from the madir. So too, it's asr for him to lend his kelim, to lend money, to make a loan, or to sell schora to the madir. And the Gemara is going to explain why that would be the case. So says the Gemara, from the Mishnah it turns out that a person who's Mudra Ana Mechaveru, not only is he not allowed to take a halva from him, he's not even allowed to give him a halva, and the same is true of a She'ela and a Mekach. So Bish, Lamele Yalvenu, Tukama Hanile, I get that the Madir is not allowed to be Malda to the Mudar, he's not allowed to lend money to the Mudar, because he's obviously giving the Mudar Hana'a when he lends him money. Ella, Lo Yalve Heimenu, Maikama Hanile, why is it that the Madir is not allowed to borrow from the Mudar? Well, in what sense is the Mudar getting any Hana'a when he is lending money to the Madir? That's not any Hana'a. So before the Gemara goes on, the Achronim are already bothered. What do you mean? Why is that not any Hana'a? In the Sefer Parashas Nedarim and the Rashash, why does the Gemara assume that the Mudar gets no Hana'a from the fact that he lends money to the Madir? If the Madir was Madir Hana'a, from the Mudar, Minastam, he hates him. He probably doesn't like the guy. Otherwise, you don't take a Neder Anah that you should never get any Anah from me with someone who's your best friend. Obviously, there's a problem in the relationship. So isn't there Hana'a to do a favor with someone who you know hates you? The pasuk says in Mishlei, "Imrav sonacha hachilei lechem." That if your enemy is hungry, you know what you should do? You should feed him, even though he's sonacha, he's someone that hates you. So isn't that alone a sense of anah? In the Sefer Parashas Nedarim, he asks even further that he's inena from the fact that evel lo lishmalta, that when someone has to borrow from you, it means that there's a power dynamic in that relationship, and you get anah from that power dynamic. The fact that he owes you money, that he's someone who has to borrow from you. So he suggests two possible answers. Number one is that since the Madir is not having kavana to be mahana, the Mudar, by lending him money, he's just having kavana for his own hana'a. So it's just memela, the Mudar is also getting hana'a. So therefore, it's not considered to be a hana'a in that direction. Just like we had earlier on Daf Lamed Hey, that a Madir is allowed to be Tore mitavua shalo on the tavua of the Mudar, even though certainly the Mudar gets hana'a from that. But since the Madir is not intending for the Hana'a of the Mudar, he's intending for the Hana'a that he has from the Kohanim, so there's no Isser. And second way he's Metaritz is that we don't find in all of Masechus Nedarim that a Mudar is not allowed to get Hana'a from a Madir Hana'a when we're dealing with a Hana'a that's not a physical Hana'a, where it's just a Simchas Halev. And Adraba, the Gemara said in Daf Memal from days that a Madir is able to say to a Mudar, is able to tell a Mudar, to advise a Mudar what type of medicine to give to his behema, because he doesn't get any physical hana'a from that, even though certainly he gets a simcha from it, it's his favorite animal, and now he's going to be able to know exactly what medicine, what medication to give that animal. So there may be some simcha involved, but simcha is not always the same as hana'a. In the Sefer Nidre's reason, he asks Viter, and he says it could be that the Madir is an Adam Chashuv, and a Mudar gets hana'a from the fact that the Madir, who's an Adam Chashuv, is willing to take a halva or a she'ela from him, similar to what we find in Maseches Kiddushin, that if the husband is an Adam Chashuv, the woman could give him money and the guy could be Mekadisher with the Hana'a that she gets from the fact that such an Adam Chashuv is willing to receive a gift from her. And then the Nidre's reason points out, it's particularly difficult, according to the Taz in Yerodeh Asim Kuf Samach, who's Mekadish, that only when it comes to monetary hana'a does a person need to be an adam chashuv. But everyone gets hana'a when someone is on the receiving end of that which I give them. It's just that there's no monetary value to that hana'a. You just can't put, meaning when it comes to being mekadesh nisha, it needs to be a shava pruta. So then we say, okay, the person needs to be an adam chashuv in order to be able to identify that hana'a as hana'a that's shava pruta. But there's always hana'a. There's always hana'a when you're able to give something to somebody and they receive it. So that's what the Nidre's reason leaves it as a tzarachiyun, that he's not sure why it's so obvious to the Gemara that, or why it's so difficult to the Gemara that he's not getting any hana'a when you're lending money to somebody. By lending money to somebody, you are getting a significant amount of hana'a. But anyway, that's what the Gemara's kasha is, that we assume that when I borrow money from someone, yes, then I'm getting hana'a from that person. But when I lend money to somebody, the Gemara works with this assumption that I'm not getting any hana'a from him. Bishlam el yalvei menu v'lo yikach imenu. And I also understand in the cases of halva'a and lo yikach imenu, that dekamishani minei, it could be that the mudar is getting a hana'a from the halva'a or the mechira to the madir, where he lent him maybe coins that are not in not such good shape, and the guy returned him coins that are in better shape. Or when it comes to a mekach, if it's maybe a kind of schora that there weren't so many people interested in buying, so the mocher gets hana'a when he finally is able to sell it. He's been trying to unload this merchandise, and now he finally found a buyer. Elolo yishal himenu, maika masani minei, but that the madir cannot borrow from the mudar. There's no hana'a to a person who's mashil kelav la'acherim. Meaning, you ask me, my neighbor asked me to borrow my lawnmower, so I don't get any hana'a from the fact that he's using my lawnmower. I get hana'a from it. He gets hana'a from the fact that he's using my lawnmower. I don't get any hana'a from that. Meaning, the Gemara is saying, even if you could fetch out a way that when it comes to lending money, that there is hana'a, because the money he might pay me back might be cleaner, nicer money than the money that I gave him. Or when it comes to a mekach, it could be that even though I'm selling something, it's something I've been looking to unload. It's something that's merchandise I've been looking to get rid of. So you could see how even the giver is the one that's getting the hana'a. But how do you do that? How do you explain that with the she'ela when it comes to borrowing an item where the very same item is going to be returned? How is the person who is loaning out his lawnmower going to be the one that's getting any hana'a? So why is that an issue? So the Gemara has two approaches to our Mishnah. Approach number one, Amr Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, kigon shenadra hana'a zemizah, that you have to add a very important detail in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it wasn't a one-way neder. You had two people that took a neder hana'a, one on the other. So each one is not allowed to be mashal chavero, but mudar hana'a mechavero, when it's only in one direction, and a chinami is mudar la'ashil chavero, if it's not a two-way street. The fact that the Mishnah says lo yashilenu v'lo yishal mimenu, the Nitziv writes in Merom Esada, even though it's all the same thing, because each one is asur ba'anas chavero. So, meaning, why do you have to say it in both directions when we already said that the neder goes in both directions? So, obviously, it's in both directions. So, it's teaching us that when a person is mudar hana'a mechavero, there's an iser both on the madir to be mahana the mudar, and both on the mudar to be nene from the madir. Meaning, if I take a neder, you're not allowed to get hana'a from me. So, and then I give you hana'a. Who violated that neder? Right? A friend of mine just emailed me the other day that throughout the Masechta, it seems that the emphasis has always been on the madir, not on the mudar. That lo yashila, you can't do this for him and you can't do that for him. He's the one that has a neder hana'a, that he's not. He's the one that has an isra hana'a. He's the one that's not allowed to get hana'a. So the Tziv says, ena chinami, he has an isra hana'a, but I also have an isra to give him that hana'a. That the isra is both on the madir and the mudar, and that's why the Mishnah wants to highlight that the lo yashilenu v'lo yishal mimenu. It still doesn't explain why all the Mishnahis only generally describe it from one perspective and not from the other. Meaning, if it's an isra on both of them, the Mishnah should describe it from both perspectives. But at least it helps a little bit in terms of that. So that's one approach. That one approach is a major akimta in our Mishnah. That the Mishnah is not talking about where one person has a neder hana'a from another person. It's talking about where they have a neder hana'a from each other. Abaye Amar, second possibility, that anyone who has a friend who's mudra hana'a mimenu, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to get hana'a in any of these three ways, and it should be taken at face value that you're not allowed to. If I'm not allowed to get hana'a, not only can I not borrow money, borrow items, buy things from him, I cannot lend him money, I cannot lend him items, I cannot sell items to him. Why? Gzeira lishol mishum lahashil. V'chein b'kulu gzeira. That I'm afraid, the Chazal were concerned, the Tanoim were concerned, that if I lend something to him, I might borrow something from him as well. If I lend money to him, I might borrow money from him as well. And if I sell something to him, I might buy something from him as well. So it's all a gzeira that if we allow the transaction in one direction, we might allow the transaction in another direction. Now there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Purim. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch Sim Tafresh Sadihei that a woman is chayeves in Mishloach Manos, just like an ish is chayev in Mishloach Manos, and an isha should send to an isha, and an ish to an ish, v'lo lehepach. That when one is fulfilling the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, a man should send to a man, and a woman should send to a woman, and not the opposite, because we don't want a man to end up sending Mishloach Manos to an almana, and it's Yavali de Suffolk Kiddushin. And it might be interpreted as Kesef Kiddushin, it's going to be a Suffolk Kiddushin. But by Matar Savyanim, you don't have to worry about that. So in the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, he says, according to the simple reading, we can explain that since Matar Savyanim is only Darach Tzedakah, so we're not Choshesh about Suffolk Kiddushin, because it's a Takana Shalolin Oldelos, but they also need Tzedakah. That it's more important, meaning how serious of a Suffolk is that? So Mishloach Manos, there's an easy fix. But if it's going to get in the way of poor people getting the money that they need in order to be able to eat, so then we're not going to have, we're not going to be mekabel these chumras, that who knows, maybe it's a suffolk kiddushin. But he says, if the chashash is that it's going to be a suffolk kiddushin, why is a woman not allowed to send to a man? What chashash kiddushin is there in that direction? Meaning a man is mekadesh an isha by giving her something that's shava kesef. Ki yikach ish isha, not the opposite. So you have to say that we're gozer ha atu ha, and it's a chashasha rechoka v'nifla'a. He says, what an unbelievable chashash. That a man is going to send a woman to Shalach Manos, people are going to think that's Safek Kedushin. A woman can't send a man to Shalach Manos, because probably they're going to exchange Shalach Manos, and on the exchange it's going to be a Safek Kedushin. So in Gilyonei HaShas, Rav Yosef Engel just points out, what do you mean, chashash urechoka v'nifla'a? We find sometimes, where goes there a transaction in one direction, because of that transaction, because of that same transaction in the other direction. And that's exactly what our Gemara says. Gezeira lishol, mishum lahashil. So it shouldn't be any different. And that's what the Rambam paskens, that it's asur for Reuven to be mashil to Shimon. Gezeira, shemi yishol nimenu. And he's asur banaso. And it's asur lahalvoso, shemi yil vimenu. Exactly what our Gemara says. The Rambam paskens, like Abaye's reading of our Mishnah. In the Shavuos Yaakov, he's further miyashev that when it comes to Mishloach Manos from a woman to a man, it shows a sense of kiruv and chino, the herga and chiba and hergel davar, as opposed to when you're nosing derech tzedakah. So if that's the concern, if it's not a concern of safek kiddushin, so then you understand that it can go in both directions. It's just concern of breaking down barriers in terms of a comfort level between the two of them. So then you could certainly understand. However, in Tshuvas Betzalel Chacham, Betzalel Stern points out, maybe we could be mochiach from the Rama, who says that it's the chashash is only not to send to an almana, but if you send to an isha nesua, it sounds like there's no chashash because there's no kiddushin tovsin by an isha nesua. But if the chashash is one of kiruv deya and chiba and that kind of thing, it could be that it has nothing to do with an almana. It could be any woman. So that's but the Rama is pretty explicit that it's because of safek kiddushin. But anyway, that's how our Gemara plays into this discussion. That Rav Yosef Engel points to our Gemara and says it's not such a chashash ruchoka v'niflaa. We sometimes have such a chashash that a transaction is going to work in both directions. Okay, new Mishnah now. So the first halacha in this Mishnah is just a continuation of the previous Mishnah, where we said that a mudra ana mechavero is not allowed lo yishalenu v'lo yishal mimenu. So our Mishnah is going to show that even though it's asur to be for a mudar to be shalom mechavero, there's a way that you are able to do it. So that's the first line of the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah is going to transition to a different topic, and that is when there's nedra ana, you're not allowed to give somebody ana, but he really, really needs something. How do you get around it? Is there some way to make sure that he's able to get what he needs? So first, the first line. Amar lo, hashileni paraska. A guy says to his friend, I'd like to borrow your cow. So amar lo, the friend says, eina pnuya, it's not available right now. It's otherwise already occupied. So the person who requested to borrow the cow, he gets all upset that the guy didn't want to lend him the cow. So amar, he says, konam sadi shani chorish baliolam. I'm making a neder ana'a for my field, the gabe this para, that I will never plow this field with this cow. And he doesn't explicitly say whether he's assuring this cow on this field for him to do the plowing, or he's saying, no, this cow, this field, I don't care who's doing the plowing, nobody, this cow should never set foot in this field, should never be working on this field. If the person who took the neder normally does his own charisha, he's normally the one that's out working in the field, so then we assume that's what he included in his neder. Who asr v'kalad mutarim, that he's taka not allowed to take that cow and plow that field with it, but other people would be allowed to, because that's not included in the neder. But v'yemein darko lachrosh, if anyway he's never the one that's choresh, who v'kalad masurin, then we assume that it's all included in the neder, so he wasn't asring charisha for himself, he was asring this cow on this field. So that's the way the Ran understands it, that the guy got angry that he didn't want to, that the other fellow didn't want to lend him the cow, and that's why he took this neder ana. However, the Ritva, in one of his explanations, and Shidum Gwetzes also quotes someone who says that the Mashil took a neder ana from the field in order to show that he was telling the truth, that his cow is not available. He says if the cow is not available, so it's a surah alai bekonam, that it should be asur to me with a konam. The Meiri and the Shulchan Aruch also quotes another day, and Rabbeinu Peretz say, no, we're talking about that the shoal asks to borrow the cow, and the mashil thought that the reason the shoal wants the cow is for charisha, and he didn't want to exhaust his cow that much, and the shoal says, no, I'm not going to use it for Charisha, I'm going to use it for other things. And in order to emphasize that he's telling the truth, that I'm not going to use it for Charisha, he's still negotiating, he's still trying to get the cow. So he says, I'm going to take a neder on that this cow should never be able to be used for Charisha. And through that line of negotiation, he's hoping to still be able to get the cow. Okay, that's a different way that we show him understand what's going on in the Mishnah. But now the Mishnah discusses what happens if you have a neder on but the person really needs it. So Amudra ana mechavero ve'in lo mayochal. If there's a neder ana, but the guy doesn't have what to eat, so holich etzel chenveni, the madir can go to a chenveni va'omer, and you say to the chenveni, you say to the storekeeper, ish ploni noder mimeni ana. This person, there's a neder ana that he's not allowed to get ana from me. Ve'in yodei ma'esa, I don't know what to do about it. The chenveni will get the hint. He'll provide food, and then the chenveni can get paid back from the fellow who had pointed him in that direction. So it turns out that the hana that he's getting is in a very indirect way, and that's going to be mutter to do. Now, each word in that whole sentence needs elaboration. Meaning, is it literally enlo mayochal? What kind of chenveni are we talking about? Is it a chenveni a regular tzlo? Is it just a regular chenveni? Eni yodei ma'e. How much of a remiza do you need over here? So let's take word by word. So first of all, he said that in lo mayochal. So Tosos and the Rush write, lav dafka, he doesn't have what to eat. It's just orcha de milsa, that if he doesn't have what to eat, you're going to look for a way out. But it could be that even if he has what to eat, that this works. Meaning this isn't called a neder hana'a. Shidun Betzes quotes Cholkim that say, no, it's only in a desperate situation that we're going to allow such a harama, that we're going to allow a way around this, because if it's not such a desperate situation, so why should we allow it? Why is that such a big deal? So that's as far as in lo mayochal. So he said, you go to a chenveni. The Ran as a girsa, holich etzel chenveni, harogil etzlo. Not just any chenveni, a chenveni that's rogil etzlo, that you always go to. So the Ran writes that the chiddush is that even though you always go to that chenveni, we don't assume that the chenveni becomes the shaliach of the mudar. And therefore, kol shekein, if it was not a chenveni, a rogil etzlo, if it was a store that neither of them had a relationship with, kal v'chomer that would work, where there's no havamina, that he's working as your shaliach. However, the Shidu Betzis writes in the Nim Rashi that the Tana Dafka picks a case of chenveni aragel atzlo, meaning like the girsa of the Ran, that it's not just any chenveni, it's chenveni aragel atzlo, because since he's aragel atzlo, you don't have to tell him b'mefurish what to do. You could say it b'remiza, and therefore, according to Rashi, you can only go to a chenveni aragel atzlo, because if you go to a chenveni that's not aragel atzlo, you're going to have to spell it out, and once you're spelling it out, he becomes your shliach, and then it becomes aser. So the only way to make this happen is by going to a chenveni aragel atzlo. So again, we have our girsa that doesn't even mention chenveni aragel atzlo. Then we have the Ran's girsa that does have chenveni aragel atzlo, but two ways to interpret why it says chenveni aragel atzlo. Either like the Ran, that's the bigger chiddush, that even the chenveni aragel atzlo is okay, but for sure when it's not aragel atzlo, it's okay. Or like Rashi, that no, it's dafka bechenveni aragel atzlo, that it's going to work, otherwise you're not going to be able to make it work. So what do you say to the guy? You say, ein yodea ma'esa. So the implication is that you're not allowed to say to him b'mefurash that he should give to the mudar. Why? Because if you say b'mefurash, then he becomes your shaliach. Right, that's clear. And then we said, so the chenveni will give, and then no tel mizeh. Then he'll get payment from the mudar. But a person Ran writes, the guy who said this to the chenveni is not chayiv to pay it, because if he were chayiv to pay it, then the chenveni would be a shliach. And there wouldn't be mutter for the mudar to take to get hana'a. It has to be that he has the option to pay it, that you have to trust him and he has the option to pay it. But if they were to go to Beis Din, the chenveni were to take the madir to Beis Din and say, hey, you owe me money, you told me to support this guy, the madir has to be able to say, I don't owe you money, and Beis Din would side with him, I don't owe you any money, I told you this guy was hungry, I didn't, there's no guarantees that I was going to pay it. It has to be in dine mum that it has to be accepted. I was just Masada Kedushin at a wedding where the grandfather of the chassan insisted that the chassan uses the same ring that they've been using for six generations of weddings in the family, which is always questionable, because if you're dealing with whose ring is it, and is the assumption that the kala is not going to be allowed to keep the ring, then it's not a valid maisa kiddushin if the kala can't keep the ring. So I said, just don't do that. Let's just use a different ring. So the grandfather did not take it well. So, so he said, can you sit down and talk to my grandfather? So I sat down and spoke to the grandfather. I said, look, if we use this ring, it will belong to the kala. I mean, he's going to buy it from you, and it will belong to him. Then he's going to give it to her, and you could actually give it to the chassan as a matan al manas aksi. I didn't want to confuse things, but from the chassan giving it to the kala, it will belong to her. That means if tomorrow you want it back, or in 10 years you want it back for your next grandchild to get married, she could say, yeah, you want it back? $10 million. That's my price. Otherwise, I'm not selling it to you. Or she could say, it's not for sale. It's too sentimental for me, and she's allowed to keep it. So once he understood that, he still wanted to use it. Okay. But once he understood it, so then we were allowed to. Then we used it. But okay, so sometimes you have to say, look, in Dine Mamanus, you go to Basin, you're going to lose. You go to Basin over this, you're going to lose on this, right? Because this is an absolute transaction. So that's how the Ran understands what's going on over here. The Rambam, the Perush Mishnayos, and the Meiri say that assume that the Mudra Na'a is chayiv to pay the Chenveni for the money. It's the Madir could just pay in his place, meaning that the Mudar is the one that's really obligated to pay, because the Chenveni is providing him with food and he's not providing it for free. And it's just that the Madir could pay in place of the Mudar. However, the Tosos and Sachs Baba Kama assumes that no, it's only when it's given as a matana, and then you get the money back after it was given by matana. Okay, so then the Mishnah says it's not only a case where the guy doesn't have what to eat. Let's say he has other needs other than food. He doesn't have a house to live in, and the mudar has to build a house in order to be able to live. Gidro ligdor, he needs a fence to protect his field. So de elixir, he has a field that needs to be harvested. So the madir can go to workers, va'omer, and he could say, ish ploni mudar meni ana. Look, this guy, there's a neder ana, he's not allowed to get ana from me. Venio de amas, I don't know what I could do for him. Veheinos nimo, and they can build his house or his fence for him or harvest his field for him. Uban v'notan sachar misa, and they could go and get paid from that person, from the madir. So that is one way that you could work around the neder ana'ah. Now a second way to work around the neder ana'ah. You have a mudar, and the person and the madir are traveling together on the road. And again, the mudar does not have what to eat. Over here, Tosos and the Rush say that dafka, if he doesn't have what to eat, are we going to follow the heter that we're about to say? As opposed to in the case of the reisha by the chenveni, Tosos and the Rush said, ein lo mayochal is just urcha de milsa, but it's lav dafka ein lo mayochal. Over here, it's ein lo, it has to dafka be ein lo mayochal, because in the reisha, the chenveni was giving his own stuff. It wasn't coming from the madir himself. And that's why even the chadchila without ein lo mayochal, when it wasn't such a desperate situation, we allowed it. But over here, where the actual food is going to come from the madir, it's just that he has a way of getting it to him through a third party, but the food is actually coming from the madir, then it needs to be really desperate. That's why Tosfos and the Rashi say over here, it has to be that ein lo mayochal is literal. And the Sefer HaFlos and Darim raises the question that if the muda doesn't have what to eat, why aren't you allowed to just give him food? When you give the mudar, you're mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah, and you're not doing it for him, you're doing it to be mekayim your mitzvah. Like Shidim Gvetzes writes in Misach Ksubis, in the name of Talmid Rebbe Yonah, that you're allowed to be machzir aveder to a mudar anah, because you're doing l'shem mitzvah, not to get anah from the person. So if we're able to make it into a mitzvah of tzedakah, where the guy doesn't have what to eat, shouldn't that take care of the problem of the neder? So in the Sefer Flos and Darim, he's metaret, so we're talking about where Yasser is nechassim on the other guy. So even if you do l'shem mitzvah, it's still an isra on the mudra to get hana from the nechassim of the madir. I mean, there's a difference between that you have a neder, you're not allowed to get hana from me, and then you're not allowed to get hana from my nechassim. If you're not allowed to get hana from me, so then yeah, when I have a mitzvah, it's not called you getting hana from me, because I'm just trying to do a mitzvah. But if you're not allowed to get hana from my nechassim, well then I can't give you the food at all. I can't. So what do you do in such a case? They're mahalchim b'derech. The guy doesn't have what to eat. So no sein le'echad, L'shem matana, you give it to a third party as a matana, v'ala mutarba, and then the mudar is going to be allowed to get it because it no longer belongs to the madir. So you can receive it as a matana. And then a third situation where it gets even more desperate. Im eini mahem acher. What if the two of them are traveling and there is no third person along with them? So maniach ala sela o ala gader. You have to put the food down on a rock or on a fence somewhere. Va'omer harehein muvkar l'kol mishiachbots. I am hereby making it after for anyone who wants it. Va'ala notel v'yochel. Then the mudar can come and take it and eat it because it's not considered that he's being nena from a madir. He's just being zochem in a hefker. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, in that last case of hefker, that's not going to work. Now, the Shidugetzis points out that the Mishnah is in order, that first the Mishnah tells us a heter to go to a chenveni, and then a heter to give a matana, and then a heter to give it through hefker, because it's lozu avzu. That first is mutter to say to a chenveni, and not only that, do we allow that, where you're being nena from the object of the chenveni, but even if you're being nena from the object of the person that you're not allowed to get anah from, it's mutter, as long as you gave it as a matana to a third party. And not only that, even if it never went through a third party, just became after, so we're building up in the level of chiddush in these three cases, right? That's obviously what the Mishnah is doing. But in that last case, Rabbi Yossi says that it doesn't work. It does not work in the case of hefker. In the first two cases, he's moda that it does work. That's how the Rishonim understand. But in the last case, he's not moda. Some Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that when he's mafkir the food, it's also for the mudar to be zochem in a hefker? So kasaver hefker kimatana, because Rabbi Yossi assumes that hefker is similar to a matana in the following way. Ma matana ada asya mi rishus nosin rishus mekabel. Just like a matana does not belong to the other party until he actually is kona it. So av hefker, so too hefker does not leave the rishus of the mafkir ada asya the rishus zocha until the next person is kona it. Meaning we think of hefker is that there are three stages. I own it, now I'm mafkir it, so now neither I own it nor anybody else owns it. And then the third stage, someone else comes and picks it up and he owns it. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not the way hefker works. The way hefker works is, I own it, now I'm mafkir it, I still own it, but anybody else has the right to become the owner, but I'm still the owner until that time. And then once someone comes and picks it up, that person becomes the owner. So in the end of the day, when he picks it up from hefker, he's really taking something that belongs to me up until the moment that he picks it up. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. It's a violation of that nedra anah. So the Gemara has two challenges to this approach of explaining Rabbi Yossi. So Masiv Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba challenges from a brisa that if the madir wants to be mahana, the mudar, he could be mafkir the mazon, v'hala notel v'yochel Rabbi Yossi oser. Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, so I mean the brisa just quotes the machlokas we have in the Mishnah, and then elaborates a little further. That Amar Rabbi Yossi, emasai, when do I say that it's usher for the mudar to take that food from hefker? Bizman shenidro kodem lefkero. That's only if the neder of the madir, where he asked him ba'na, came before he was mafkir the mazon. Avalim haya hefkero kodem lenidro. But if he was mafkir the food before he made the neder ana on this guy, hareza mutter, then the guy's allowed to take that food. But v'yamer adasi l'shesocha mali nidro kodem lefkero mali lefkero kodem lenidro. But if you're going to say that the person who was mafkirit is the owner of that item until someone else has koned it, what difference does it make which happened first? If I'm mafkirit and then I take a neder, you're not allowed to get an off from me. Well, that neder should include the item I was just mafkir because it's still mine until someone else picks it up. So how come Rabbi Yossi makes such a chiluk? Rabbi Yossi says, no, if I take the neder first and then I'm mafkirit, that's where I have a problem. But if you're mafkirit first and then you take the neder, then it's fine. Then the guy's allowed to take it. Why is that fine if Rabbi Yochanan is correct that the basis of Rabbi Yossi is that I'm still the owner until someone else picks it up? So it says Gemara, who mosivla, who mishanila. The same Rabbi Abba that asked this kasha is miyashivit. He answers this kasha that it could be that within Rabbi Yossi that hefker is not yotzei from the rishus of the mafkir until someone else picks it up, until someone else is kona it. And afal pikein, if the hefker preceded the neder, it's going to be mutter for the guy to take it. Why? Because kalanoder ain't daitol mashayifkir. Because we assume that it's a limitation on his neder, that even though I am the owner and of the items that I've been mafkir, and I am saying that I'm taking a neder now from anything that's mine, I don't really mean anything that's mine. I mean anything that's mine that I haven't been mafkir. That probably we assume that when a person takes such a neder, he does not intend to include anything that that he's mafkir. The Ran says, look, if he took the neder and says anything that's mine, including that which I made hafker, he has the right to do that because it still is his. So he could include it in the neder if he wanted to, but the assumption is that he did not include it in the neder. So says Gemara, but we have a second challenge to this approach. Masav Rava, we have a Brisa that tells us that a Shchiv Mira that writes a Tzava'a, that he's giving all of his possessions to two people, and where he first writes Miktsasim L'Rishon, that some of his Nechasim go to Ruvain, and then he says V'kulon L'Sheni, and then he says and all of my Nechasim should go to Shimon, and then he becomes healthy again, he gets the fellow has a Refuah. So the Halach is Rishon Kana, the first guy is Kona, the portion of the Nechasim that were initially allotted to him. Because the halach is that when you have a matnas shchiv mira, when a person is on his deathbed, if he gives everything away and then he gets healthy, we assume he didn't intend to give everything. He thought he was giving everything away because he thought he was going to be gone. But he still needs stuff. So we assume that that's not a matana. But if he gives some stuff away and keeps other things, so then even if he gets healthy, that matana is binding. So when he said to the first guy that miktsas of his nechasim are going to that guy, even though he got healthy, the patient got better, so that matana is still binding. But sheni lo kana, the second guy is not kona anything because the halach is if a shchiv mira is giving all of his stuff away and then he gets better, so we treat it as if there was no matana at all. So the idea that the first one gets miktas, you see that when you give the second guy kol nechasim, we don't assume that he means to say whatever is that he meant to say only whatever is left over from my nechasim after you give it to the first guy. We say that he's being chozer bo from the original nesina and he intends to give all of his nechasim to the second guy. Because if we're going to say that by giving to the second guy he's not being chozer from the nesina rishona, he's giving all of his nechasim except for what he gave to the first guy, and the first matan is still in place, so then the first guy shouldn't be zocha b'chalko either, because then he's a shchiv mira who's being mechalek kol nechasav, where the halacha is that if he gets healthy he's able to be chozer from his nesina. So it must be that when he said kulon l'sheni, he meant kulon mamish, and he wanted to back out on the Nesina Rishona and give even that which he initially allotted to the first guy now to the second guy, and that must be the intention over here. So at the Shas Nesina Rishon he wasn't intending to be Cholik Kol Nechasav, and then later he changed his mind and he said, you know what, I'm going to be Cholik Kol Nechasav, I'm going to give all of it to the second guy, and that's why the Nesina Rishon is going to work over here when he gets better. So you see from here that just like the Nosein has the Das even on that which was given to the Rishon, Hu Adin by Madir Chaveru Min Chasav, your das is even on that which you were already mafkir. That's the challenge. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the kasha. That just like meaning the Gemara is making an assumption that if when it comes to a nosin matana, your intention is to give even that which you've already promised to somebody else. So when you're madir nechasav, your intention is to include in the neder even that which you were already mafkir, and that's therefore a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rava. Rabbi Abba rather. So Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says, you know what? A second way to understand our Mishnah. Again, where do we start over here? That Rabbi Yossi said that if you're mafkir, if Reuven says that Shimon is not allowed to get hana from me, and then Shimon is starving, and it's just Reuven and Shimon on the road, so Reuven is not allowed to. Rabbi Yossi holds if Reuven is mafkir something, Shimon is not allowed to take it. So why not? Why can't Shimon take it? So the first approach was because it belongs to Reuven up until the moment that Shimon takes it. But there's another approach. Ella Amar Rava. Really, Rabbi Yossi also holds a Meikar Adin, a Mudar is Mutar to be Zocha from that which the Madir was Mafkir. But Hainu time did Rabbi Yossi. The real reason Rabbi Yossi asks the Mudar from taking the item of Hefker that the Madir was Mafkir is Gzeru Mishum Matnas Beis Choron. It's a Gzeru because of the Maisa Shahaya with the Matnas Beis Choron, where the Madir says b'mufurash that he wants to give a matana to somebody else only so that the mudar could get hana'a, and in such a case, he's he's not really intending to take it out of his own rishus, and the matana is not going to be chal, and therefore it's also for the mudah to get hana'a. So the same is true when it comes to hafker. When he says b'mefurish that his whole intention in being mafkerit is so that the mudah should be able to get hana'a, then the hafker is not chal. The whole thing's a joke, and because of that, they made a gzeira to ask for the mudar to get hana from the hefker, even if he didn't say it b'mefurash. Meaning, if you were to say, I'm only being mafkir this because I want this guy to get hana, then the hefker doesn't work. So even if he didn't say those words, but we know that he's being mafkir it so this other guy can get hana, then the other guy's not allowed to take it. So now we understand why the problem is only when the neder comes before the hefker, because there's a chashash that maybe when he was mafkirit, he was being mafkirit just so that this guy could get hana. But if the hefker came before the neder, then why would I assume that he was only being mafkirit for this guy to get hana? There was no problem with this guy getting hana in the first place. So now you understand the chiluk that we made between kadam hefkero l'nidro versus kadam nidro lehefkero. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the brisa at the bottom that we're going to have to explain whether it follows the sheet of Rabbi Yossi or the Rabbanan. Everyone have a wonderful night.
You as well, Zygazon, cult of. Bye-bye.